the beautiful Psalm, Psalm 91. The psalmist had full faith in the Lord, being his protector, being his refuge. And when we look at the first, we're going to look at the first two verses of this psalm, and we see the beauty of the language, and we see how the beauty of the language corresponds to the grandeur and how great the thoughts of the psalm are. And the central thought of the whole psalm is that of God's response to the psalmist as the psalmist approaches him in faith. And it's all about faith. With faith, for every advance on your part, as in the psalmist's part, there is an immediate and corresponding advance on God's part. When you and I go out to seek God, God meets with us more than halfway. You see, when you call upon God, God will answer you. Loving faith on your part will be met by faithful love on the part of God. Covenant love, a love that cannot be broken, a love that is bound up in the efficacy of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. That love between God and his child, that love between the Lord and the psalmist, that love between the Lord and you and I, whose faith is in Jesus, that love can never be broken. This is in the first verse and the rest of the psalm. It's an expansion of this whole thought. You know, Psalm 91 is many people's favourite psalm, and it has often been described as a mountain of strength to all believers. It's about that intimate relationship between this great God, this massive God, this eternal, holy, beautiful, righteous and holy God. The relationship between him and his people, you and I. So no wonder this psalm has been described as a mountain of strength to all believers. It talks about that secret place, that place of fellowship between God and you and between you and God, that relationship. And when we look at the beginning of verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." He that dwells in the shelter of the Most High, or as many translations put it, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, translations of the Bible will vary between shelter on the one hand, or using the term secret place on the other hand. And to get a clearer idea of the meaning of this phrase, secret place, or shelter, what we do is we look to other parts of the Bible where the phrase is also used. In Psalm 31 and at verse 20, the psalmist says, "You shall hide them in the secret place, the shelter of your presence." We can see this idea throughout the Psalms. The psalmist in Psalm 83 and at verse 3 uses another form of the same word when he states, "They," that is God's opponents and the opponents of God's people, "they have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and they have consulted against thy hidden ones. That's in the King James Version. They have consulted against thy hidden ones. VSV has, they lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. So the Lord's people here are described as his hidden ones. And not only are they described as hidden, they are described as his treasured ones. Those who dwell in that secret place of faith. Now outside the book of Psalms, the phrase is used by Jonathan when he says to his beloved friend David. And do you remember Jonathan and David were best of pals, and Saul, Jonathan's dad, was after David because he was envious of him. And Jonathan used to warn, Jonathan would warn David about his father going out to seek him for his life. Saul, my father, seeks to kill you, Jonathan says. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Go and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And of course, that's what David did. You can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 2. So from these and similar passages, we get the idea of this secret place, of this place of refuge, this place of hiding, where God's treasured ones, where God's children go to find safety. And from these and similar passages, we get the idea of the Lord's people being like a fugitive, like a fugitive hiding from pursuers. The picture that we have throughout the scriptures of the Lord's people is that we have a picture of someone running from their enemies, just like David was running from Saul, weary and panting. And he does not know where to hide himself, and in desperation, he flees to a friend for protection, and his friend hides him in that secret place. The fugitive gives us all into the keeping of his friend. What does the fugitive do? He places his life into the hands of his friend, and his friend now has power of life and death over him. So then, the man or the woman who dwells in that secret place of the Most High is the one who ventures his all upon God. It is describing the one with a sure and steadfast trust, the one with a simple and unwavering faith. He gives himself, he gives his all into the keeping of God. He or she has surrendered himself to God because they now dwell in that shelter and in that secret place, surrendering themselves to God. And by that very act of surrendering themselves to God, they are near to God. He is put in the secret place of the Most High and becomes one of God's hidden ones, one of his treasured ones. So we ask the question this day, is that a description of you, and is it a description of me? Are we one of God's treasured ones, one of God's hidden ones, one to have a sure and a steadfast trust and a simple, unwavering faith? Does it describe us this morning as ones who have given ourselves into the keeping of God? It's simply called faith, trust, and it's there for all to have. But we must surrender ourselves to this God. And if we can say, yes, that does describe me here this morning, then Paul describes you and I in this way. He says, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You'll see that in Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. in that secret, sheltered place near to God and enjoying that fellowship with God through Christ. We are one of God's hidden ones in the world, but we are not of this world. We are the hidden ones of which the writer to the Hebrews says, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. You'll see that in chapter 3:14. That is how the writer to the Hebrews describes God's treasured ones, God's hidden ones, God's people in that refuge. That's what he says. We are God's hidden ones, of which Jesus commands us. What does he say? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You'll see that in Matthew 5 and at verse 16. We are God's hidden ones, of which Jesus himself says, you know, if the world hates you, Jesus says, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, he says, therefore the world hates you. So are you here this morning, one of God's hidden ones, one of God's treasured ones, sheltering in the protection of that secret place? You know, that secret place is open to all. That secret place can only be entered in through the gospel. And it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can open the door into that secret place. But that is open to all who would call upon the name of Jesus. Faith, the gift that is open and is available to all who would call upon the name of this Jesus. Perhaps you are standing on the outside this morning and you know the way into this secret, sheltered, wonderful place to be reconciled and have that fellowship with God. And you know that you are almost there. And I ask you, what is stopping you? What is stopping you this morning entering into that secret place and giving your all to Christ? Because he waits, and he invites you this day into that secret place. And I think it was John Calvin who said that every time that he preached, he would remind the congregation, and he would say that when he was preaching, it was as if Jesus was standing beside him with his arms out, inviting people to come in. Because Jesus speaks to us through this word, which is alive because it is the word of Jesus. It is the word of God. And we are this day being invited into that shelter, into that secret place where we can get comfort, encouragement out of this chaotic world, knowing that we are just but passing through this chaotic world, knowing, and as the Reverend Hugh says it all the time, and I fully agree with him, that the best is in fact yet to come, because that ultimate secret place is in glory itself with Jesus. So we're being invited this day into that place. So what is holding you back if you have not entered in? Because the Lord Jesus today is inviting you in. There's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's a new life to be had with him. P.T. Forsyth describes the life of the hidden ones of God like this. He says, that is the Christian. We are like vessels which are near a lee shore in the night, The darkness of the open sea, he says, is safer for the skilled seaman than the line of the shore. Our safety is to stand out in the bosom of the dark. It is to press into the mysteries of God. God's hidden ones, God's treasured ones, safe in that secret place. Now what the psalmist has done here is he has borrowed and he has used an image of the temple. It is very possible that the psalmist has borrowed the phrase the secret place from the arrangement of the temple. There was a vast outside world stretching on every side beyond this temple walls for the psalmist. Then there were the outer courts outside the temple. And then as you moved closer into the temple, which is in the mind of the psalmist as he writes this, he moves in and then there's the inner chambers and there's the inner precincts. And as he moves further and further into the temple, he comes up across the holy place with the golden candlesticks and the table of showbread. And last of all, as he moves in, there is the ultimate secret place, the Holy of Holies in the temple, the mysterious abiding place of the eternal God for the psalmist and those who worshipped God in and around the temple in the Old Testament days. You see, every Jew, including our psalmist, thought reverently at that secret, silent place where God dwelt between the cherubim. In worship, he would turn towards it. He would worship toward it. His desire was to move toward that Holy of Holies. It was the mysterious center of his adoration and service. And James Hastings, he describes it this way. He says, and that arrangement and apportionment of the temple became to the psalmist the type and the symbol of human life. Life could be all outside, or it could spend itself in the outer courts on the mere fringe of being, or it could have a secret place where everything found significance and interpretation and value in the mysterious fellowship of God. That seems to be the primary meaning of life in that secret place for the psalmist. It is life abandoning the mere outside of things, refusing to dwell in the outer halls and the passages of the stately temple of being, and centralizing itself on that interior of things where cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Are you spending your life on the outside? Outside of this place of refuge? Outside of this place of shelter with God? Are you spending your life on the mere fringe of being, as Hastings would describe, in the outer courts, when you're being invited into the inner courts? Or are you spending your time in that secret place where everything finds significance, interpretation, and value in the mysterious fellowship of God? Because when a life is changed by grace and by God, everything changes for that person. Everything in that person's life of significance changes. When a man, a woman, boy or a girl are converted and are brought into that secret place and into that life of faith, everything finds significance. We interpret the world in which we live in a different way because we see it as God's world, and we value what is mostly and best to value, and that is having that mysterious fellowship of God. So the question this morning is, have you accepted that invitation into that most holy of holy places and into that secret place of God? That is where we are being invited here this day, into that most holy of places, into the very presence of this most holy God. What an invitation we have. And it is only in this place that we can find real significance, interpretation, and value. And it's only in this place where we can find true protection and fulfillment, in that secret place, in that sheltered place, under these wings. And listen to the writer to the Hebrews explain how you and I may enter in. The writer to the Hebrews says this, and he opens it all up for us. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place, he says, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, he says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So the writer to the Hebrews unpacks for us how you and I can enter into this shelter and into this most holy and secret place. It is, of course, by the blood of Jesus, through that curtain, and that curtain was his body on the cross. And since we have a great priest over the house of God now, we can go through that curtain and we can enter into that most holy of places, because he tells us that our hearts, our sinful hearts, are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, which makes us innocent in the sight of God, and it clears our guilty consciences. And the text tells us that our bodies are washed with pure water. And of course that looks to baptism. And he commands us and he exhorts us that once we are in that place of faith and we are enjoying that fellowship with this God, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. You know, sometimes our faith can be very, very weak. But let us remember that weak faith is faith nonetheless. For the Lord will not let us go. As the writer to the Hebrews, what does he say? For he who promised is faithful. Now that is one of my favourite texts in the whole of Scripture. And you can see it in Hebrews 10 and 19 to 23. It tells us and it shows us, and it describes to us how you and I can enter into that secret place of fellowship with God, and into that place where we have that safety for time and for eternity. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place is open to all who call upon the name of the Lord. And the writer to the Hebrews explains eloquently how all this is possible, because Christ has torn that curtain in two. And what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21? He says, for our sake, that is, for God's treasured ones, for God's hidden ones, for God's children, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All our sin is put upon Jesus on the cross, and all his righteousness and goodness is transferred onto his people, his hidden ones and his treasured ones. Paul states that the cross work of Christ is effective enough, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. There is now no more hostility between the Lord and his people. This is how you and I may enjoy fellowship with God in that secret place as the hidden ones and the treasured ones of God. You know, being in the midst of God's people and saying one with another here today. Do you remember the psalmist in Psalm 122? He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So if nothing in this world gladdens your heart like coming together with the Lord's people, then that is a sure sign of faith. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let's turn on the computer and listen to God's word with God's people. I was glad when they said to me, let us turn on Zoom on a Tuesday night and meet together. Let us go to the house of the Lord. It's a sign. It is a sign that if that delights your heart, then that is a sign that you dwell in that secret place of the Most High. You know, the church, it's that place, it's that home from home, whether it is inside a building or whether it is by video conference or by Zoom, the church is that place, that home from home, where we recover from tiredness and fatigue. It is the place where it is made clear to us that our hand may be slackening from the high purposes God has called us to as his hidden ones. It is the place, in other words, we go to where we very well may be challenged by the word or by a prayer or by a singing. It is the place where we go to be encouraged. Church ought to be that place where we see our life more truly. It is that place where God, it is that place where Jesus Christ comes between us and the things in this world which worry us and trouble us. It is that place where God, where Jesus Christ comes between us and the things which would dishearten us and bring us to despair. Who stands in that gap? Well, Jesus does. Listen to James Hastings describe the church. What do we do? To seek the face of God in worship is the instinct of the soul, which has become aware of itself and its surroundings. Life and death are the great preachers, he says. It is they who ring the church bells. I'm going to read that again because that is very good. He's written there. To seek the face of God in worship is the instinct of the soul, which has become aware of itself and its surroundings. Life and death are the great preachers. It is they who ring the church bells. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find meaning among the people of God. When we're among the people of God, we will be reminded of the Christ who loved us and the Christ who gave himself for us. The Christ who has won that place and opened that door so that we can enter into that shelter and into that secret place. And that secret place and that place of shelter has two things that we must do. And that is, the first thing we must do is pray. We must communicate with this God who has done all this for us. Martin Luther once said, pray as if everything depends on God, and then work as if everything depends on you. Thomas Watson said of prayer, Christ went more readily to the cross than we do to the throne of grace. That secret place is the place of fellowship and it's the place of prayer, where we hear from God and where we speak to God. So let us not exist in the outer courts, but let's accept this invitation that is given to us this day to enter into that shelter and into that secret place where we have fellowship with God, where we can pray to God, where we are reminded that we are safe, we are reminded that we are hidden, we are reminded that we are the Lord's treasured ones. That is how the Bible describes his people, treasured ones and loved ones in God's inner circle. So why would we want to be on the outside today? Why would we want to be on the outside looking in today? You know, it's the invitation that is given out every time the gospel is preached. I remember not long after I was saved, and as a young Christian, everything changed in my life, and my dad and I were sent by my granny to deliver some bob and jumpers and socks to a little house down in the base of Harris. My granny would knit the jumpers and the socks, and they would be delivered down to the base of Harris, and they would be sold down there to tourists. And as we got caught up in this black market trading of bob and gensies and bob and socks, my dad and I found this little house down in the base, and we had to go down this little road all the way down. It was one of the most beautiful settings I have ever seen. And we found this little picturesque house all by itself beside the sea. I knocked on the door, not knowing who it was, and a little elderly lady answered and invited us in. And she lived in the house with her almost blind elderly sister. And the first thing I noticed as myself and my dad walked into the house, the first thing I noticed was the open Bible on the coffee table. And we introduced ourselves, and they told us that they were waiting for us and for the bob and gensies and the socks. And the lady says, "Oh, John Murdo, I know who you are." I says, "We pray for you every Sunday morning." And I was shocked. I says, "How do you know who I am?" And I says, "Oh, we get the tape ministry from the local church, from the Talbot Church." And back then, the minister would make me do the second prayer just to get me used to speaking in public. He would call me up and I would do the second prayer. And I would shake and I would sweat and I would be nervous. And little did I know that these two ladies down in the base of Harris who could not get out to church, they were praying for me at the back of 12 o'clock every Sunday morning, knowing that I was praying and knowing that I was terrified while I was praying. You know, and these two elderly ladies, they could no longer get out of the house. You know, they spent their days and their time in that secret place of fellowship with God, praying for people they had never met, praying and praising their Lord all the day long. And I will never forget that day as we sat in there and we had a cup of tea and a time of fellowship with the two ladies. I'll never forget and realizing that they knew God, and they knew God well, and they served God well in that secret place by prayer and by fellowship with him. And how many of their prayers have been answered over the years, and how many of their prayers are yet to be answered, who knows? Because they knew what it was to live in that secret place, in that sheltered place, in this little house down by the sea. It's a memory that will never leave me. The secret place. It's the place that the Christian enjoys. It's the place where you and I can enjoy even here this day as we look at God's word together. The psalmist understood it and the psalmist knew it. Sheltered, protected, watched over, loved. As we move on, and as we said last week, through this wilderness that is not our home. And then one day, we will experience the ultimate shelter and refuge, which is in heaven itself, with the Son of Glory and the Son of God, the one who opened that access way through the curtain for us by the death of his body on that cross.